You haven't heard the final word from the deep state. They never give up.
Mr. President.
Hello.
What great honor. What great honor and pleasure to welcome you back to the Davos community. Just 4 days into your new mandate, we highly appreciate your presence with us today.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of our program, guest host Pastor Mark Henry talks to Alex Newman. The globalists want polycrises, multiple global crises going on at the same time that will destabilize the planet. In part two, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz revisit Geniza in an updated discussion. What can we learn from a former psychic? Here is today's programming.
Thank you very much, Klaus, and hello to everyone in beautiful Davos. This has been a truly historic week in the United States. 3 days ago, I took the oath of office and we began the golden age of America. The recent presidential election was won by millions of votes and all seven swing states. It was a massive mandate from the American people like hasn't been seen in many years. And some of the political pundits, even some of my so-called enemies, said it was the most consequential election victory in 129 years. That's quite nice. What the world has witnessed in the past 72 hours is nothing less than a revolution of common sense.
Welcome to Understand the Times Radio. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. She's taking a little break today. We just want to pause for just a moment and say praise God. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 says that when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Over these last years, we have grown together, we've prayed together, and God has done something really unique. The globalists are on the run. Friends, the hand of God in a unique way has answered our prayers. Many of us have been praying around the globe that God would intervene and confuse the wicked and that he would disturb the plans. And on January 23rd, Dr. Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, welcomed President Trump to the Davos Forum, and he spoke to 3,000 global leaders, 130 heads of state, and President Trump was welcomed, and then he confronted them on point after point on their agenda of 2030 and how he was going to oppose that. You remember some of those points. You'll own nothing and be happy. America will not be a superpower. The green agenda, the godless assault on the family. In 40 days, Team Trump has declared war on all of these agendas. You might remember Dr. Harari, the lead think tank leader for World Economic Forum, was right when he said if Donald Trump is elected, it'll be the end of the global order as they had planned. Dr. Klaus, who started World Economic Forum in 1971, was watching President Trump dismantle his 53 years of hard work in just a matter of the last 40 days. President Trump and his team are not done yet. They are routing out the Davos team and making them run. Well, our guest today is Alex Newman from Liberty Sentinel. Alex is an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, consultant, who's always working trying to glorify God, and we just love him for that. He's a dear friend of Jan and myself. Alex, welcome to the program.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Alex, you have been to Davos many times, and we were all watching the Davos week unfold, and then Donald Trump was asked to speak. What was the atmosphere like when he started to confront them, literally after point after point after point?
You could see on their faces that they realized this was not good. And the more he talked, the more their faces dropped. You almost felt bad for them, although then you remember all the evil they've unleashed on humanity. And I wish I could have been there this year. I was supposed to be there, but unfortunately I had problems getting a visa. But what was going on there was completely different than anything that I think has ever happened in the history of the World Economic Forum. Even in 2017, after Trump won the first time, you could sense that there was a little different atmosphere. Everybody wasn't quite sure, is he really going to obey all these campaign promises he made? But this time around, they knew he was serious. And you heard these guys recognize that this was a major defeat, not just for their project, but even for their ideology, for their plans. This was truly a very historic event.
I want to play a clip from Dr. Walter Mead. He was at Davos and he's doing a forum there, and he's a former Yale professor. Listen to what his analysis of President Trump and his administration means to Davos and the world order as they have planned.
We need to also factor in not only who's won, which is Trump, but who's lost, which is to say us. That is to say the general kind of intellectual, professional, managerial people who sort of thought that the world was basically, history was over and we were administering and trying to manage things according to rules that were all clear and known, and that tomorrow, even though we see this tech revolution happening around us, tomorrow is still going to be basically like today with incremental shifts. That's not how things work, and especially not how things work at this kind of moment. And I guess I would throw into that that the epitome of the us who is losing here is Europe, that the European Union and by and large its member states have misread the direction where events were going. And the European Union is the causes that it is interested in, climate, human rights, some others, as well as the methods of diplomacy that it prefers, are simply being gradually marginalized as something new, not necessarily something better, but something new moves into the center.
Dr. Mead said the us have lost. Alex, what's the implications of that?
For the short term, that is absolutely true. They have really been dealt an incredibly severe blow. They've had this idea that we're going to just progressively march toward this one world order, with that process accelerating as we got closer to it. And what happened here was a major disruption in that process. We both know, Mark, that that process is not over. But for the time being, that was a devastating black eye. And these people sensed it. These people have been their entire careers, in some cases almost their entire lives, working toward this goal of continuing to subvert the sovereignty of nation states, continuing to undermine the family as the primary organizing unit of society, continuing to undermine the church. And of course, the values that come from the scripture, the Ten Commandments, the Judeo-Christian underpinnings of Western civilization, they saw this as a linear progression. And during the Biden administration, they believed that they were invincible and that they were untouchable. And yet here you have a situation now where everything they were clinging to was taken from them in a moment. And there's a lot of people who are wondering how much of this information is going to come out to the public. See, a lot of these people have been involved in activities that we would consider not just criminal, but beyond that. Attempts to overthrow, for example, our constitutional Republican system of government, not through the amendment process outlined in Article 5 of the Constitution, but through subversion, through funding revolutionary movements. So a lot of these people are not just upset that their precious little dreams seem to be moving out of reach. They are terrified that there's going to have to be accountability at some point. And I guarantee you, a lot of these people are not sleeping well tonight.
There's no doubt they're on the run. And we've got another Thursday night event coming up. It's going to be March 13th. Alex, you're going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and the future of America. And you can join us live at Revive Church, 7849 West Broadway here in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7 p.m. Central Time. Doors will open at 6 p.m. Watch the event live at MarkHenryMinistries.com. You can download the Mark Henry Ministries app or stream it there on your Apple TV, Roku, or even his channel. The event will be posted on YouTube and Rumble following the event. Well, there's no doubt Team Davos had planned on bankrupting America. And we've seen even government leaders here in the United States pushing to print more money and the inflation taking place. And Elon Musk put there in this task at this moment with Doge, unfolding a different plan.
But with the support of the president, we can cut the budget deficit in half from $2 trillion to $1. And then with deregulation, because there's a lot of sort of regulations that don't ultimately serve the public good. And we need to free the builders of America to build. If we do that, that means I think we can get the economic growth to be maybe 3-4%, maybe 5%. And that means if you can get $1 trillion of economic growth and you cut the budget deficit by $1 trillion, between now and next year, there is no inflation in 26. And if the government is not borrowing as much, it means that interest costs decline. So everyone's mortgage, their car payment, their credit card bills, their student debt, their monthly payments drop. That's a fantastic scenario.
There is the plan. Cut $1 trillion worth of fraud and corruption, and then rebuild the economy. Alex, have you ever seen a politician present a workable plan, a model like that for the United States?
it's almost unprecedented. Ronald Reagan famously said the closest thing to eternal life is a government program. And here we are talking about taking a chainsaw to these various government programs. It's very, very rare in all of human history that you have a government that has usurped power, that has launched a bunch of programs, that has created a bunch of spending streams and constituencies, suddenly roll that back. And when you combine it with some of the other things that the Trump administration is doing, like unlocking our energy resources, allowing miners to go and mine minerals, trying to bring back some of our manufacturing, trying to bring electricity prices down so that our manufacturers can be competitive once again in the international market. We saw this during the first term. Obama had said a lot of this industry is never coming back. And then suddenly Donald Trump comes in, and within a very, very short time period, we went from importing massive amounts of energy, much of it from hostile regimes, to exporting energy for the first time since Eisenhower. So we're watching here an incredible turnaround. Now, I don't suspect, Mark, that the globalists are just going to see this, the deep staters, and say, oh, well, that's really unfortunate that America is going to stand back up and rise to economic prominence again so they can rebuild their military, rebuild the middle class, and keep sending the gospel to every corner of the world. I suspect they're going to try everything in their power to pull the rug out from under the stock market, pull the rug out from under the dollar, try to create economic crises. But what's happening between Elon Musk, the deregulation, Trump actually just named a new regulations czar, wonderful attorney who I know, Jeff Clark, who served as deputy U.S. Attorney General in the last administration. He's now the regulations czar, and his job is to go in and cut the regulations that have been destroying American industry and the American economy. So when you take all this together, it is an incredible sight to behold. But of course, we have to remember the evildoers are not just going to sit back and allow this all to happen without answering.
Now, as DOGE unfolds and reveals all the fraud and waste, is anyone talking about anybody going to jail? I mean, if you and I took $5,000 from somebody, you and I would go to jail. Is anyone being charged with anything yet?
So far, and we talked a little bit about this even before the show, Mark, I was a little bit disappointed to see DOGE agents raiding some of these places like USAID instead of the FBI with the U.S. Attorney's Office, because this is not just an issue of wasting a little bit of taxpayer money here on a program that we might have legitimate policy differences about. A lot of this money was being diverted to revolutionary groups, in many cases, terrorist organizations, Islamic terrorist groups that have been attacking Israel. These are not just policy differences. These are extremely serious criminal acts. So as of now, there hasn't been a lot on the law enforcement front, but I spent a good half an hour with Kash Patel before he was confirmed, and he was talking about the need to bring in accountability. He just put out a book called Government Gangsters, and he identifies a lot of these government gangsters. So I suspect that cases are being built. They're compiling evidence. They're trying to figure out how it all works together, who's involved. My guess is people are being offered deals, immunity for testimony, things like that. And the reality is, God told us why he instituted civil government. It is to bear the sword and terrorize evildoers. This is a historic opportunity to bring some accountability to people who haven't just been stealing our money, but they've been working against our Constitution, and even more importantly, the Word of God. I hope criminal cases are being built. It must happen if we want to try to stop this from happening again.
Absolutely. They've got to be held accountable for it. And not only that, I think the Congress needs to be taken to task on this. They're the ones that hold the money purse for the United States, and they've done a horrible job. There's a bunch of politicians who may not be directly involved for doing evil, but they are indirectly for not holding these individuals accountable for the waste and the fraud that's taken place over the last 50 years. Alex, what do you see as the next move that the globalists are going to have against President Trump, against DOGE, and these things that are unfolding before us?
Right now, they're still trying to get their bearings. This stuff has happened so quickly. The fake media doesn't even know what to attack because it's happening so fast. We have seen some really troubling indications out of Washington, D.C. Senior lawmakers, people like Senator Edward Markey, who I confronted a couple of years ago at a UN climate summit, committing fraud against the American people. He's out there calling for people to come to Washington, D.C. and fight. Not like Donald Trump, we're going to peacefully and patriotically make our voices heard. These people seem to be calling for revolution. We know that over the last 4 years, our country has been infiltrated by battalion-sized groups of military-aged men from communist China, from Cuba, from Venezuela, from Russia, from all over the Middle East, many of them with ties to Islamic terrorist groups, many of them with ties to communist intelligence agencies. They came here for a very strategic purpose. Tom Homan is doing a very good job trying to track these people down and remove them from our country. But I suspect, Mark, that the evildoers are plotting how to destabilize not just the Trump administration, but the United States itself. They were talking for years about this idea of a poly crisis. The World Economic Forum publicly predicted that we were headed toward a polycrisis where we would see maybe an economic crisis, a political crisis, an environmental crisis, a currency crisis, all of these merging into one mega crisis. And I suspect, I don't know the details of it, but just from studying these people for so long, you get a sense of how they float these ideas before they try to implement things. I suspect they're planning a massive polycrisis of doom to try to, first of all, stop all of this in its tracks, and second of all, get the ball rolling again on globalism. They would love to see another major war, possibly even a world war. So I think what's happening right now in Ukraine with Russia, very, very sensitive. Same thing with Taiwan and mainland communist China. Same thing in the Middle East with Israel and the Arabs and the Islamists and the Persians. I think there is going to be an attempt to unleash chaos on our country and on the world. We need to be watching for it. I know the Trump administration is looking for it, but I don't suspect that these evil-doing globalists are going to sail off into the sunset and wish us well.
You're listening to Understand the Times Radio. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. Today, our guest is Alex Newman from Liberty Sentinel at libertysentinel.org. Well, universal basic income, we've been hearing about that, and there's been different states even voting on it. One of the interesting things that's happened with the pandemic and in these recent days, we've had people go home with no accountability. Now DOGE is saying, hey, tell us what you've been doing. And people are pushing back. It's almost like people are afraid to say that we've actually accomplished anything. Maybe they're not accomplishing anything. Listen to the press secretary here, Carolyn Leavitt.
I can announce that we've had more than 1 million workers who have chosen to participate in this very simple task of, again, sending 5 bullet points to your direct supervisor or manager, CCing OPM. I actually participated in myself. It took me about a minute and a half to think of 5 things I did last week. I do 5 things in about 10 minutes, and all federal workers should be working at the same pace that President Trump is working and moving. We have a country to save.
America became great because of the Protestant work ethic. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord rather than to men. And what we've seen in this global order that we've been thrust into is the dismantling of that work ethic. You think about all of the government officials that have jobs who have been sent home, who are being paid, and there's no accountability. Alex, is this part of the plan of the globalists? Is this the initial front that they had for this universal basic income by employing all of these government employees? What do you see behind all of that?
There's several things going on. I think one is the establishment just loves to waste our money and get us into more debt. They don't even care how they do it, right? And a lot of communists have talked about this strategy before, trying to get governments to go bankrupt in what they call the capitalist world. In fact, some very, very articulate communist strategists outlined this. Many years ago, in fact, decades ago, the Clobbered and Piven strategy, where you just try to bankrupt the government, get so many people dependent on government, not just government workers, but welfare recipients and things, that eventually the whole system collapses in on itself. I will say we should be thankful to God that we don't get all the government we're paying for. I often remind people, imagine if all these millions of bureaucrats were doing what they're supposed to be doing, how difficult it would be to run a business, to just have the economy function. So in a way, we ought to be grateful. But what's happening here with the resistance from the federal bureaucracy? We saw this in the first term. They seem insulted that they have to explain what they've been doing because they've cultivated this mindset. And I think at the highest levels of power, they want this mindset. They want the federal bureaucracy to think of itself as the master. They're used to us working for them. They don't like the idea of having them work for us. So we're going to see a lot more resistance to this. The first administration was just incredible. And now that they're using various tools, they've got a plan in place to track all this down. There's a real sense of paranoia among the bureaucrats that, whoa, we're not going to be able to just resist and hide out. So they're very concerned about this because this has been going on for way too long.
We've got another Thursday night event coming up, March 13th. Want to invite you to join us at Revive Church, 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Event will start at 7 p.m. Central Time. Doors will open at 6. If you can't make it, watch us live, markhenryministries.com, or download the Mark Henry Ministry app. You can stream also on your Apple TV, Roku, and watch on his channel. And again, these events are always going to be posted on YouTube and Rumble in the days that follow. Alex, one of the things that we've seen countries trying to do is devalue the U.S. dollar and actually overthrow the U.S. dollar, remove it as a reserve currency. And Brisk was leading the front on that. President Trump has taken that head on.
How about BRICS? You know, the BRIC states, there are like 6 of them, and they were trying to destroy our dollar. They were going to say, you know, they wanted to create a new currency. They probably wanted to use the yuan, China. They wanted to use the yuan. And Biden said, well, this is a tough situation. There's not much we can do about that. We can't help that. I said, oh, we can help it. So when I came in, the first thing I said is any BRIC state that even mentions the destruction of the dollar will be charged a 150% tariff. And we don't want your goods. We don't want to partake. And the BRIC states just broke up. I don't know what happened to them. We haven't heard from the BRIC states lately. But he said that wasn't much we could do about it.
You know, if President Trump had not won the election by the providence of God, BRICS would right now be increasing in size. You got Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Egypt, Ethiopia, Indonesia, Iran, and others. And Saudi Arabia was about to join, but the election put that on hold. Now, Alex, again, the devaluing of the U.S. dollar, the attack on the U.S. economy, specifically, wasn't this a direct attack against the United States, a war, if you will, with Russia and China against the United States?
I believe that is part of the plan. And it is also part of the globalist plan to destroy the U.S. dollar and move us toward an international reserve currency. In fact, 15 years ago, early on, fresh out of journalism school, I did a cover story for the New American Magazine about the plan to bring in a one world currency. What we saw was, yes, the BRICS governments are deeply involved, but many of those BRICS governments were actually put into place by the same Western globalist power brokers that we talk about so often, Wall Street and Washington, D.C. people. I want to start by pointing out that this is still part of the plan. If you look at the previous administration and the one prior to the last Trump administration, the Barack Obama administration, they were the drivers of this plan. And so I'll give you a few clear examples of this happening. In 2010, the communist Chinese dictatorship through the People's Bank of China chairman put out a report calling on the world to move away from the dollar as the global reserve currency and move toward an international reserve currency operated by the International Monetary Fund, where the United States has some sway, but where communist China, the Russians, and all these others also have a lot of sway. You would think that would be something that a reasonable U.S. government would say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a good idea. That is going to have catastrophic implications for our economy. And that's what every sensible person who saw this proposal assumed. Then they asked U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, Barack Obama's Treasury Secretary, at a Council on Foreign Relations meeting what he thought about this Chinese proposal to move away from the dollar and create a one-world reserve currency through the IMF. And he shocked the world by saying, we're actually quite open to that. So that's hugely significant. Very powerful players in Washington, D.C. and New York fully support this agenda. Now let's look at the BRICS itself. The whole idea of BRICS actually came out of Goldman Sachs. Their chief economist was the one who first coined that term. I believe if you look at what the BRICS have been trying to do, just by looking at their public statements, just by looking at the annual agreements that they put out after their meetings, the New World Order that they have been talking about is exactly the same as the New World Order that the Obama administration, the Biden administration, and even the Bush administration before that were all promoting. And again, this is not my opinion. Anybody can go read these documents. They called for turning the United Nations General Assembly into an emblem of global sovereignty. They called for increasing the ability of the United Nations to enforce its mandates. This is the same kind of stuff that we hear out of the deep state in the United States and in Western Europe. So what's going on here? They're trying to reshuffle the world order. And they've been telling us this for well over a decade. The first time I ever heard the term multipolar world order, which is now part of the popular lexicon, was from the Council on Foreign Relations in a positive context. They don't like the idea of what we have right now, a unipolar hegemonic world order, where the United States, based on biblical principles, at least at its founding, the idea that God gave us rights, the idea that government exists to protect our rights, these are biblical ideas, right? God said, don't murder, therefore you have a right to life. God said, don't steal, therefore you have a right to property. God said, government should punish evil. God defined murder and theft as evil. Therefore, the government must help you protect your right to life and property. Simple stuff that everybody at our founding understood. They can't have a new world order like they want when the most powerful economy, military, diplomatic corps, middle class, all still clings to that idea. So to usher in the communist Chinese style multipolar world order that they want, they have to knock the United States down and bring up these other powers, Moscow, China, etc. And the perfect way to really bring in the new system that they're advocating is a global war. And that's what they themselves have said. Back in 1962, the U.S. State Department hired a guy, Lincoln Bloomfield, from the Council on Foreign Relations to do a report on this. It was called The World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. And the goal of this report was to figure out how do we move toward a one world system where the UN is in charge. You kind of move out of the Westphalian system, born in the mid-1600s, of sovereign nation states. And their answer was actually very simple. War, the threat of war, and a grave crisis will make this happen quickly, whereas through organic trends, we're looking at hundreds of years. So I do very much believe that they're pushing for this one world system, that war is the way to bring it about, and that disrupting the U.S. dollar's position in the global economy and bringing in a new international currency is the strategy that's being pursued. This is the long-range game plan, and we know because we have the documents.
People are evil, and they're plotting, planning, and they're patient. Well, hey, join us Thursday night, March 13th. We're going to be having another Understanding the Times event. Alex is going to be with us. Join us live at Revive Church, 7849 West Broadway here in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7 p.m. Central Time. Doors will open at 6 p.m. Watch the live event at MarkHenryMinistries.com. You can download the Mark Henry Ministries app or stream it there on your Apple TV, Roku, or even his channel. Well, all of us have been praying for America. We've been praying that God would raise up Josephs, like Joseph spoke to Pharaoh and had a godly influence there. Daniel during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, Esther there in Persia. We've been asking God to do that. And God has positioned some very unique people in these recent days. I want to play for you right now a prayer that was offered by Scott Turner. He's a United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. This is in a cabinet meeting. Listen to this prayer.
Say grace and they will love our meeting, right? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege, Father, to be in your presence. God, thank you that you've allowed us to see this day. The Bible says that your mercies are new every morning. And Father God, we give you the glory and the honor. Thank you, God, for President Trump, Father, for appointing us. Father God, thank you for anointing us to do this job. Father, we pray you will give the president, the vice president, wisdom, Father God, as they lead. Father, I pray for all of my colleagues that are here around the table and in this room. Lord God, we pray that we would lead with a righteous clarity. Father God, that as we serve the people of this country in every prospective agency, every job that we have, Father, we would humble ourselves before you and we would lead in the manner that you've called us to lead and to serve. Father, the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, Father, we today honor you, and in your rightful place, Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to restore faith in this country and be a blessing to the people of America. And Lord God, today in our meeting, we pray that you will be glorified in our conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless Scott and the Daniels that God is raising up in this generation. Alex, thanks for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you Thursday night here in the Twin Cities. Friends, stay tuned. Coming up next on Understand the Times Radio, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael will be interviewing Jen Nitza, ex-psychic who has come to know Christ as Savior.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In a time characterized by fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are pleased to announce the arrival of the newest Terry James book titled Tracking Toward Tribulation and the Any Moment Intervention by Jesus Christ. This is a compilation of chapters written by 15 contributors, all with insights into the lateness of the hour. Some of these contributors include Tom Hughes, Brandon Holdhouse, Dr. Randall Price, Mike Gendron, and Jan Markell. The new book is an intensively concentrated effort by the top writers and broadcasters of our time, analyzing the end-time issues and events bombarding America and the world. The authors, in thoroughly examining all things involved in the swift movement toward the establishment of Antichrist's world-controlling regime, present a glorious prospect for all who cling to the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed hope, the rapture of the church. Find Tracking Toward Tribulation in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Gain great wisdom and insight as we track the any moment return of Jesus Christ.
But they're looking for something. They're seeking answers, wisdom, control, and identity. Unfortunately, they're going to get quite the opposite when you go to the devil. I would say be careful, because when you do devilish things, you get devilish outcomes.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of today's programming, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael talk to a former psychic, Jen Niza. Here is the balance of today's programming.
And our tagline says, bringing healing treasures from the depth of the earth. And that's exactly what we do. We work with miners all over the world. And these miners bring these beautiful crystals directly to us.
Have you ever wondered which stones can be combined and which should be kept apart? We will explore some popular healing stones, their properties, and how to incorporate them effectively for your healing journey.
So basically for me, tarot is a fun tool to get in touch with my intuition. What you can see is the cards are so subjective, it's so relative, and it all depends on how you interpret the cards for yourself and your own situation.
When the five perceptions are stilled together with the mind, and not even reason bestirs itself, they call it the highest state. When senses are firmly reined in, that is yoga, so people think. From distractions, a man is then free, for yoga is the coming into being as well as the ceasing to be. Here, yoga seems to be a kind of state that is achieved when one reigns in the senses and the mind, when we go beyond the workings of the intellect and the senses and reach some kind of stillness.
The Enneagram is a personality assessment which helps you identify your core motivations, fears, and drivers at work, home, and in relationships. It explains the why behind our behaviors, answering questions unique to you, like, why do people describe me as intimidating when I don't feel that way? Or why is it so difficult for me to decide what I really want?
Welcome to Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael. Joining me, as always, is Pastor Josh Schwartz. Our guest today is a former psychic and medium who has come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. She can be seen on her YouTube and podcast program called xpsychicsave.com. We'd like to welcome back Jen Niza. Jen, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
So Jen, in this clip that we just heard, we're seeing celebrities and others that are promoting the use of crystals, and stones, and tarot cards, and all of these instruments. Tell our audience, what is the purpose of using these items, and then why are they so dangerous?
The purpose of using those items would be to attain secret knowledge, to reach some sort of false enlightenment, vibration, frequency, and healing, so many things that are not truly going to be able to happen because these are demonic tools. Crystals in and of themselves are created by God and they're beautiful and we give God all the glory for them, but they are not to be used as a tool of divination, which is condemned by God. God says not to do that. So the danger is that you are entering into the demonic realm. You are going into contact with demonic entities. What the girl said about the tarot cards was how you interpret it, because it's so subjective, it's so relative, that it makes a difference as to how you see it and how you determine what those cards are saying. That's just not true. You don't determine those things. You are entering into the demonic and you are invoking demonic forces. And those demonic forces, those entities, are at large when you enter into divination, and they will provide information to the one who is reading those cards. As well as the fact that the little pamphlets that come in the decks of tarot cards have already been channeled. That's channeled information because, in fact, tarot cards are cardboard cards with paintings on them that had no meaning at all. Henceforth, divination, seeking meaning out of meaningless things or trying to contact the dead or any other supernatural being.
That's a great point. And so many people see them as something that is tame or fun to do, to maybe see what my path might look like today. But the truth is, they are an instrument of the demonic to lead people astray and to bring them into ultimately a really dark place.
And the danger, of course, is when you start listening to demons, you get into demonic oppression, and the eternal cost is very high if you stay there and you don't come to Lord Jesus and you don't repent. And the enemy seeks to distract people with these tools of divination, making false promises of that which he truly cannot deliver. He cannot deliver joy, wisdom, insight. He can put on the masquerade. He's the master of smoke and mirrors, of illusions. But that's why the person will have to keep going and always ends up going down a rabbit hole, because it can't give what it's promising to give.
That's a huge point. Now, Jen, a couple of questions for you in regards to that, especially the new age and seeing really, I think, demonic deception on the rise in our culture. Are you seeing a rise in Gen Z and millennials really using this new age platform?
3,000,000%. And I would attribute that mainly to social media. Of course, we're seeing it in the music industry and cinema as well. But social media, right on your phone, just that instant click. And it is trendy to have your crystals, to do manifesting. It is trendy to be involved with witchcraft. And it's interesting because it overlaps and they feed into each other. So, for instance, the music industry, the Grammys, Taylor Swift, where you're seeing these demonic celebrations and promotions. And then you'll have TikTok double down and hashtag it and make it go viral, and people will be talking about it and it becomes the buzz.
Are there apps out there, Jen, that kids are turning to for this kind of information, or what exactly is out there?
I would say TikTok and Instagram are huge. I, thank God, am not searching for psychic apps or anything, but I bet you we could find a great deal of them in the app store, maybe a tarot card reading app. Meditation is huge, new age meditation, that is, right? And I'm sure that they can find those. And it just depends on how the enemy lures them over to start. And as long as he can get you intrigued and interested, so maybe they find it on Instagram or TikTok, and then they go look up the app, because it's that temptation. It's that hook. He wants to hook you. And it's not hard to do through the occult and through the new age.
Jen, I've heard you talk about pendulum reading. I wasn't familiar with this phrase until recently. Explain to our audience exactly what that means.
I had a pendulum. It actually was my rose quartz heart-shaped pendant. So it was on a chain. I would wear it around my neck, of course, believing that that in and of itself would attract people to me, but with good feelings, love, and not per se romantic love, but any kind of love, right? So then I would use this crystal on the chain. I don't know how other people do them. I'm sure it's as subjective and relative, as that girl said, as every other thing in the new age, of course, because it's not godly. So there's no absolute truth to it. So new agers have their own deviations, but I would have the person lay down and I would put the pendulum over their chakras and I would see if those chakras were open or closed and then determine the next step from there. See, that brings you down another whole new age practice, but people will use pendulums, pendulum readings for simple questions like yes or no, and believe that they have trained their pendulum to move clockwise for yes, let's say, and counterclockwise for no. In and of itself, you can see that when you're asking a yes or no question to start, you have a 50-50 chance, number one. But number two, again, you're going to divination. You're going to forces outside of God, outside of his will and his boundaries. So you are invoking demons that will show up and have a power. And take a pendulum, it's just a thing, again, that doesn't know whether something is yes or no. It knows nothing. So where does the information come from? Demons.
You're absolutely right. And the demonic deception is running rampant, whether it's pendulum reading, where you're simply using an instrument to make it seem like it is the universe or some metaphysical thing that's speaking to you, that it's ultimately a demonic instrument used to lead people astray. I think another thing that you mentioned that's so important to bring up is this aligning of chakras. Can you give us maybe a 1 or 2 minute explanation of what that means and how it is so important, specifically in the practice of yoga?
Yoga is a big red flag and extremely demonic. Chakra, Sanskrit, means wheel. And the belief is that the false ideology, of course, is that you have 7 primary chakras from the top of your head to the base of your spine. So the wheel would be energy center. So like a little wheel turning either clockwise or counterclockwise if it's closed. They're either open or closed, and it's energy that has colors that correlate with them that will give you a check on your, depending upon where the chakra is, your emotions, your spirituality, your psychic ability, and your physical health as well. When I would do these chakra balancing, but also is a reading because I would get information while I was doing these chakra balancing practices. For instance, if the pendulum read counterclockwise and it was over, let's say, the throat chakra, I don't want to get into too much detail. We believe the third eye. The third eye is a chakra, again, air quotes, because this is not truth. It's coming from false religion and it's a demonic lie. But we believe that the third eye was like the little movie screen for where we would get our psychic information. Of course, you would want to keep that open so that you could become all-knowing. Interesting, right? So yoga does involve chakras, specifically kundalini. And the sad deception is that it's just stretching and breathing and exercise, and it's going to make you feel better. It is connected to yoga and extremely dangerous. And the kundalini is like in the shape of a serpent on your spine. And there's kundalini yoga.
So Jen, we're seeing celebrities and YouTubers all over the internet right now. And they're coming up with this feature called What's in the Bag. Are you familiar with this?
I've not heard this.
I want you to hear a clip that we have and I want to get your opinion on it.
Hi, I'm Emma Watson and I'm headed to London. This is what's in my bag. So you never know when you're going to need just a quick, straight glass of gin. Oh, my tarot cards. This is fun. A friend gifted me a deck. I think it's so much fun. I love the ritual of it. I try and pull one every day when I do my journaling. This is actually the original tarot deck. It's a classic, but I have a few different ones. Should we do it now? Oh, wow. This on camera. I am usually freaked out by how accurate the cards I pull from this deck are. So let's see what I get. Now that's interesting. As I was shuffling, there's one card that's upturned, which makes me feel like that's the one I should pick. Oh, interesting. So I pulled the World card. Well, actually it was chosen for me by the deck. The World represents an ending to a cycle of life, a pause in life before the next big cycle beginning. It is an indicator of a major and inexorable change of tectonic breadth. So it stands for achievement, fulfillment, possibilities, and potentially successful conclusions.
So Jen, we had no idea how popular this was. We have a Gen Xer on our staff and he asked, hey, have you guys seen this? What's in the bag? And I know I wasn't familiar with it. Pastor Josh was like, we need to see this. This is all over the internet and there's celebrities, YouTube influencers that are out there. And wherever they go and whatever they do, they bring their bag along and then they take out all these items. And we've seen stones and obviously the tarot cards. How influential is this for young people to watch?
Extremely influential. These are people that they unfortunately idolize and that they see in a certain light. And no mistake, they're using the word light because they see these people as famous. That means money, successful, kind, maybe. Maybe they're even charitable, who knows, philanthropic. Maybe they're beautiful. So every move that they make, these young people are going to be influenced by what they're doing because after all, they're doing it. Why shouldn't I? I mean, it must be okay, right? These are great people. And it's extremely heartbreaking, that clip, seeing them just bust out some tarot cards out of the pocketbook. And yet if I was back in my new age shoes, I would have loved that. That would have been amazing to me. And it's very sad to see that you just take a tool of divination right out of your pocketbook and then broadcast it for everybody to see. And so the young girls and guys as well, they see this as glamorous. They see this as popular. And they see this as a way to control their own reality they put their faith and trust in these tools of divination, despite the fact that they even confess how subjective it is. They're not going to God. They're not going for truth, but they're looking for something. They're seeking answers, wisdom, control, and identity. Unfortunately, they're going to get quite the opposite when you go to the devil. I would say be careful, because when you do devilish things, you get devilish outcomes.
Jin is absolutely right there, explaining that they see these people as influential. They see them as glamorous, as people that they ought to be looking up to. And what just killed me is, imagine the impact that maybe some of these people would have if they would pull out a Bible from the bag and read from the holy word of God. And instead, they're pulling out tarot cards, alcohol, and crystals. We watched so many of these videos, Jin, and it was one thing after another. All these extremely influential people, celebrities, and the like, doing this exact same thing. Obviously, this is having an impact on the culture and in the young people of the culture. And over the last number of years, we've seen a huge decline in attendance at church, especially among young people. We want to play another clip and get your thoughts on this as well.
There are different churches in the world. Everywhere you go, you see churches. And these churches are from different denominations. We look at some churches and we ask if God is really in that church, or if they truly believe in Jesus Christ, because their doctrines are the same as the doctrines of demons. Some churches are like an abode for occult groups.
And this will kind of probably offend you, but oh well. I view the Holy Spirit like the genie from Aladdin, and he's blue, unplanned, perfect. And he's funny, and he's sneaky, and he's courageous, and he's everywhere, and he's wonderful.
If we read through the New Testament, there are places where we have been warned about these people or churches coming up in the world. This is not something that started in this age, but the rate at which they are emerging is alarming in this age.
That many false worship bands rise up and appear as angels of light, but are truly Trojan horses that use their music to get false doctrine into our churches.
The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And look at verse 2, we see deceitful spirits will use hypocritical liars to draw people away from the truth. In these last days, doctrines of demons and the demonic influences will be so convincing that some will depart from the apostolic faith into apostasy. Tragically, these apostates are professing Christians who knew the truth but were never born again. They had head knowledge, but it never reached their heart. They are like the seed that fell on rocky ground but had no root, no spiritual life, no real union with God.
You're listening to Understanding the Times. Our guest today is Jin Nizza, ex-psychic and medium. You can find her at expsychicsaved.com. Jin, you've seen the impact of what you were involved with. Now, are we seeing this displayed in the church, and is it similar to what we just witnessed?
Unfortunately, we are seeing it in the church. From the beginning, we mentioned the Enneagram. The Enneagram is a New Age tool. Yoga is in the church. And that false teaching that we just saw in that clip, that woman sitting there, really, in my opinion, you can correct me, Pastor, if I'm wrong, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because how are you going to say the Holy Spirit's sneaky and he's blue and he's all these things, or at least mocking him? That just hurt me to listen to that. But then we have churches like Bethel with cards, and I know people get very upset and there's a lot of pushback with that, with the grave soaking, and that's necromancy. That was in the church, and there is evidence of that. So yes, we're seeing more and more of that. The book Jesus Calling, which is extremely deceptive, we see that in churches. But in churches being recommended, absolutely the New Age is creeping into the church. And how many people are even calling themselves Christian witches, Christian intuitives, Christian Reiki, Christian healers, trying to blend the two, which is an impossibility. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, says God's word in 1 Corinthians 10:21.
You're absolutely correct. That is blasphemy. That clip of her saying what she thinks of the Holy Spirit is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard. It is heartbreaking, to say the least. and to be dealing with grave soaking and other things, that is necromancy. And this is what Deuteronomy says about such things. Deuteronomy chapter 18, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. Whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Friends, if you're hearing this and you're dabbling in these things, hear the word of God that this is an abomination and we must flee from it. We must speak the truth in love and warn people that these are very dangerous things to be a part of.
Absolutely, 100%. And I find it so powerful that God says the practices are an abomination, but so is the person practicing them. And when you look up the word abomination, it's something hated. It's disgusting to God to do these things, not just the practices, but the person too. And God, I always say, he's not an angry grandpa. He's not a buzzkill. He's not any of that. His commands are for our good. And I encourage people to walk away from these snares of the devil, the lies that are straight out of the pit of hell, and come to Christ Jesus, the only one who knows all things, who has all creation in his authority, and who loves, and who is the only one who can give you fulfillment, peace, joy, and freedom, and eternal life, life itself. These practices will bring you death and demonic oppression. So if you're trying to mix Christianity and the New Age, I can assure you that demonic oppression is certain to happen when you open these doors to the demonic. And sometimes people don't realize they'll start having the side effects of demonic oppression, but they won't attribute it to that because they didn't know. And those are things like doubts, confusion, not wanting to go to church, not wanting to read your Bible, spiritual warfare, demonic attacks, anxiety, sleep paralysis. These are real things that come from demonic forces. So we really need to ask the Lord to close any door that we might have open. And I encourage people to get rid of anything that they may even have in their home that's associated to the New Age. If you're coming out of the New Age or you have a past to the New Age, please comb the home and see if you have anything left, books, tarot cards, and burn them. Acts 19:19 them.
Amen. You are absolutely right. Now, Jen, as we bring all of this to a close, you've come out of the psychic world, the necromancy world. How were you saved out of that?
Oh, there's always hope in Christ Jesus. How was I saved out of that? I called on the name of Lord Jesus, not a spirit guide, not a deceased person. As the Bible says, he is our help, and calling on his name, and he comes. And I felt such a peace come over me when I cried out on his name, and I didn't think about it. I wasn't looking for a new way of life. I wasn't looking to adopt a philosophy or a religion or anything like that. I was perfectly content in doing readings. I wasn't content with the side effects, but I was so demonically oppressed, and I called on the name of Jesus Christ. And it was a little bit of a journey over the period of 10 months. The Lord finished what he started, and he brought me into a church where I heard the gospel. I sang the words of the Bible, and I was set free. I fully accepted Lord Jesus as my Savior and understood that he was the one who showed up when I called his name 10 months prior. And I cried tears of joy, of liberation, and gratitude to our Lord for setting me free. He revealed very quickly to me what I was doing. Praise God. I went home from that church that day, and I went straight to Google. I didn't have a Bible handy for obvious reasons, you might say. But I went to Google and I Google searched, what does the Bible say about psychic mediums? And that was all the Holy Spirit pointing me right to the word of God. And his agenda was clear to his first order of business was to get me away from what I had been doing. And he revealed to me what I was doing. And I knew that it was Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, that I was a sinner that needed a Savior. And he died for my sin and he set me free. And whatever he said was what I was going to do. So I didn't understand the whole thing, But he said it right there, Deuteronomy 18. That stood out to me in a big way when I did that Google search. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to pick up my cross and follow you. And I quit my job. And that was about 11 and a half years ago.
Yeah, Jen, you are absolutely right. Jesus is the only way. And he has used you and your ministry in an amazing way. As we wrap up here, Jen, how can people get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me would be through my website, xpsychicsaved.com. That's xpsychicsaved.com. And that's the hub for everything. You can email me there. You can go to my audio podcast, which is also X Psychic Saved through Edify. It's on Spotify and other platforms as well. My YouTube channel is, everything is linked up there. So you will be able to find me easily. My books are on there. I've been doing a lot of speaking. Well, I should say I have a lot more speaking upcoming, but I am just so thrilled that God is using me for his glory and for his kingdom and using all the days of my past now for him.
Well, we are blessed to have you, and we want to thank you for your time today. Jen Nietz has been our guest. Take care, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We are here to represent the truth and spread the truth, for God is not the author of confusion. We are on borrowed time, as predicted events from the Bible are now all falling into place.